So the goal of Simin Pezayin in Yeridea was to really define three things. We're supposed to define what Basar is, supposed to define what Cholav is, we're supposed to define what Bishul is. So we almost finished these three things. But some of the Shulchan Aruch at the very end of the Simin decides to come back for a little bit more. Decides to give us just a little bit more odds and ends related to what exactly Basar is and what exactly Cholav is. There are a couple of things that are not clear exactly, whether they're considered to be Basar for the purpose of Basar Cholav and things that are considered to be Cholav. So even though we finished all the Derech Bishul part for our purposes, we have to go back just take a little bit of a step back. So one of the things Shulchan Aruch talks about at the very end of the Siman is the sugya about beitzim, about if you shechte a chicken, you open up the chicken and you find eggs inside, so are those eggs somehow considered to have the status of basar or not? So what's the din? So what's the Gemara about it? The question of what the Gemara says about it, the Gemara quotes Mechor Gizatanoim about it, the Gemara talks about the possibility of different levels of development of the eggs, that if the eggs are very, very, very developed, so then they're basically like eggs already. They haven't actually physically come out yet. Everybody knows that an egg, almost everybody knows an egg comes out, is not considered to be chayshik. Obviously, that's not basar. But maybe you can argue that if it's still inside the chicken when you shecht it, so maybe you can argue it's still considered to be part of the basar, still part of the meat of the chicken. So the Gemara says, now, if it's beitzim gemuras already, the egg is just about ready to be laid, it just hasn't physically come out yet, it's hard to believe that's going to be basar. So then you have nuances of machlokes atanoim. At what point do you say that you've reached that point? At what point can we say that the beitzim are really, really gemuros? I don't know too much about hens and eggs and chickens. All I can tell is I remember once I was watching a shechita, and they opened up the hen, and there were a lot of eggs in there, so the sheikh was saying, oh, that's a fleshek egg, and that's a fleshek egg. So I don't know what he was talking about, but he was probably talking about some of these things that are appearing in the Shulchan Aruch. So basically, what it really, really boils down to is, so the Gemara talks about beitzim gemuros, then the Gemara talks about me'uras begidim, is it connected, not connected? But all the dust settles of everything, the klal is very, very clear. If it's a Beitza Gemura, whatever that means, whatever your criteria of Beitza Gemura are, so a Beitza Gemura is not considered to be fleshik. That's for sure. Where exactly you draw that line? Is it connected? Is it not connected? Is the yolk developed? Is the white connected? Is the shell connected? Every possibility exists in the Rishonim. But the klal gadol is, if it's a Beitza Gemura ready, then there's nothing to talk about. Then, Kliyamala Pligi, if it's met all the criteria of Beitza Gemura, then it's not fleshik. Comes the Ramah in the documentation, in the later poskim in the Shulchan Aruch quoted, that quotes an age-old practice that anytime you open your shech, the chicken, you open it up and you find an egg in there, those eggs are treated as fleshiks. Finished, end of discussion. Everything is fleshik. Even though, what do you mean? I just learned through the whole sugya. I just came to the conclusion that it's a beitza gemura and it meets everybody's criteria of beitza gemura and it doesn't matter. It's still considered to be a fleshik. That's what the minhag Yisrael is. It's the minhag in the Ashkenazi communities is. The question is, where in the world did this minhag come from? The Gemara says, Pemole, that it's not. Where did this minhag come from to be so machmir that all eggs inside are all considered to be fleshes? So the Rambam in the Dekei Moshe suggests that maybe the minhag came from the following. There is a famous Gemara that appears in Masechta Ksuvos, in the sugya of Erev and Ksuvos, about the sugya being Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. The Gemara says that a Talmud is not supposed to be Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Again, what exactly that means, how far is Rebbe, is not far Rebbe. Move again, leaving out that we're not learning the sugi Mer Halach B'Fin Rabbah right now. But the Gemara says there's an issue to be Mer Halach B'Fin Rabbah. The Gemara says that there actually seems to be two different reasons why you're not supposed to be Mer Halach B'Fin Rabbah. One is because it appears to be a chutzpah, appears to be it's disrespectful to the Rebbe. And then the Gemara also says, and by the way, it's no loy mestaya milsa. If you murder halach in front of your Rebbe, you're not going to paskin correctly either. So it seems to be two different reasons. One is that it's a chutzpah, it's a bizoyin harav, it's an isra, bizoyin tamid chamim. And number two is, lemaisi, you're not going to be successful. The odds are you're going to make a mistake. You're not going to get the proper siyat dishmai to paskin properly. That's what Tosfos seems to learn, the two independent reasons. And you're not going to have one without the other. That's what Tosfos points out, that let's say the Rebbe is moichel. So if the Rebbe is moichel, then there's no issue of kavod harav, because the rav shirach mochel kvedik vede mochel. So Tosfos writes, im kol zeh. Even though the Rebbe is moichel, you still have the second reason to contend with, that you're not going to get the proper siyat dishmai, so you shouldn't paskin even if Rebbe is moichel. But there are other Rishonim will learn now. Other Rishonim will learn, if the Rebbe is Meichel, then it's okay. How is it okay? How does the Rebbe being Meichel solve the second problem? So those Rishonim seem to learn that the second problem is not an independent problem. The second problem is a problem because you're being Mevazel the Talmid Chacham. Why are you not getting Siyat Dishmaya? I learned the sugya properly. Why am I not getting Siyat Dishmaya? So the answer is you're not getting Siyat Dishmaya because you're Mevazel your Rebbe. If the Rebbe is Meichel and Epizoyan, so Rav Shemachel Kvayde Kvayde Mechel, so Mimela, I'll get the Siyat Dishmaya, I'll come down. So Machlek is a Rishonim within Hukha Siyat Dishmaya. What do you need? What does it take to get Siyat Dishmaya? So according to Tosfos, there's an objective problem of being Meir Halacha B'Fnei Rabbi. because you're not going to get the proper Siyat Dishmaya whether your Rebbe agrees or not doesn't agree. And other Rishayim disagree. Fine. So that's a Shaila. The Gemara says in Maseches Ksubos that a person should never pass in a Shaila in the presence of his Rebbe, whatever his Rebbe means, whatever those words mean. But the Gemara says that don't think that only applies to something that's a really, really hard Shaila. Even a really, really easy Shaila, or it's like the easiest, we would call like the Yalav Yovel Shaila, the really simple, cinch stuff. So the Gemara says, even that you shouldn't pass it in the front of your Rebbe. So if you were writing that statement of the Gemara, the easiest shayla, you have all the shas at your fingertips to choose from. Give me an easy shayla. I don't know, can you eat on Yom Kippur? I don't know, can you eat chametz on Pesach? Can you light a fire? There's so many good easy shaylas to ask. So the Gemara says, for example, be'yasa b'kuska. Somebody comes and asks you a shayla, can I eat eggs together with milk? So I would have thought, eggs with milk? What? I went to nursery. I went to preschool. Everybody knows you can eat eggs together with milk. What's the shayla? Can you eat eggs? Never had a cheese omelet. Of course, you can eat eggs together with milk. So, if somebody asks you that shayla, no, you should stop and say, I have to call the Rebbe. Text the Rebbe. Got to bother the Rebbe. Simul saying, Shia, I can't give you a psak. Now, I feel a bayis of a kuscha. That's what the Gemara says. So, Tosfos on the spot says, that's what the Gemara means. That you can't pass in a shayla where the eggs are milk eggs. Says Tosfos, that's called a psak halacha. My 2-year-old can answer that guy. Everybody knows that answer. Eggs are not considered to be flesh eggs. That's a psak. It's too easy. The Gemara is looking for an easy case. So Taisa says the Gemara overdid it. The Gemara is guilty of what? Goes to my Shia. It's overkill. The Gemara came up with too easy a case. It's so easy that it should be mutter. Taisa has understood that if somebody calls and wants to know, you know, what time is lech benching? Wait, I can't answer the kash. I have to go ask my rabbi. You look at the calendar. It says lech benching. Whatever. Things that are so simple, so easy, cannot possibly be violations of the Gemara lech b'fei rabbi. So what does the Gemara mean? Says Taisus. The Gemara means like this. Yes, the Shaila. I have a beitza. I'm not asking you about an egg that was laid. I didn't go to Pathmach and buy a carton of eggs and I want to know, can I put it into the omelet with the cheese? No, I shechted a chicken and I took the egg out of the chicken. It's a beitza gemurah, or a begidin, all complicated, all chagadja. And I come and somebody asks me a Shaila, Rabbi, can I eat that together with cheese? And the Gemara says, Al yeira adam b'fei Rabbi, don't answer such a Shaila, because it's not so simple. It's a little more complicated. That's what the Gemara's talking about. But Lu Yitzuya, the Gemara was talking about whether a regular, simple, plain egg sitting in Pathmark is fleshix. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that, and you can answer it even b'fnei Rabbi. So Taisa's Pshat is very, very difficult. Why is Taisa's Pshat difficult? Because the Gemara is trying to find, yeah, it's so hard, we don't even know the answer to that kasha. We're learning Pei Zayin, we have no idea. If someone would ask me that Shaila, I would fail this part of the Smicha Bechina. I have no idea what's called the Beitza Gemara. So it's a whole sugya about it. So the Gemara is trying to find the easiest Shaila under the sun. This is the easiest Shaila. Far from easy. Yes, if you're Tosfos, this was an easy Shaila. So it's a very difficult Tosfos to understand. But Lamais, that's what Tosfos is trying. That's Tosfos trying in the Gemara. That's talking about this Shaila Beitza Gemara. So Zokhti Ramah, what happened? There was a... Somebody shechted a chicken back in Krakow in the 1300s. Somebody shechted a chicken. And the woman's looking at this chicken and she sees Gavalt, there's an egg inside. So she comes to the rabbi and asks the rabbi, Rabbi, what's the din? Can I eat this together with kusach? Can I eat it with my milk? So the rabbi says, ooh, this is it. This is the case. This is the jackpot shaila that I'm not supposed to answer without calling my rebbe. My rebbe's out. I can't find my rebbe. I can't answer shaila. Lady, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, you can't be making. I can't treat it as being part of eggs. I don't know. Krakow, we moved the 4 o'clock forward, 1400s to Krakow. Another woman comes up with the same shayla. Every rabbi can't answer the kasha. No rabbi in town can answer the kasha. Why? Because nobody wants to touch the shayla with a 10-foot pole. Because this is the case. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to answer before rabbi. So nobody's answering the shayla. What happens? If you don't answer the shayla enough times, so it depends on what kind of community you live in. If you live in certain communities, you don't answer the shayla enough times, it becomes what? It becomes mutter. But if you live in Krakow in the 1500s, everyone's so frim, so it becomes asar. So all of a sudden, now you got this phenomenon. Everyone's walking around Poland thinking that the eggs are fleshiks. So the Ramah says, in Dakimash, it's not my joke. But Dakimash says, this is where the minute came from. Nobody wanted to answer the shayla, because this is the case that the Gemara says, Liel Mayur Ad Mefnei Rabbi. And therefore, we're stuck out of Yemezer. Move the clock forward, Tufshin $9, Washington Heights. We no longer eat eggs with milchiks if the eggs were inside the chicken when it was shechted. The good news is that we don't have those kind of eggs too much. Most of us aren't eating those kinds of eggs anyway. But lo yisui, you shechted your chicken, you opened it up, and you find an egg inside. That's what the Sheikh told me when he said, those are fleshig eggs. I don't know whether he meant those are really fleshig eggs, or he meant those are Krakow versions of fleshig eggs. Those are Ramal versions of Krakow, the Rebbitzins and Krakow's version of fleshig eggs. Are they really fleshig eggs? I don't know. Rav Yaakov, Rav Gidin, Amar Rav Gidin, with the Chalmon, if I saw Chalmon or Chalmon, I wouldn't even know what I was looking at. Whites and yolks and something or other, with shells, without shells. But at the end of the day, nothing matters anyway. You don't have to know this Siman in Shulchan Aruch, because at the end of the day, everything's awesome anyway, because it is minute. we come up with another pshat. So there's another beer for where this minhag came from. The beer for where this minhag may have come from is based on a kasha that a lot of the Rishonim already bothered with. This din that Beitzim Gemurah Sataka Mutter, what we're basically saying is that the egg is not really part of the chicken. That means we're basically saying if it's a Gemurah already, it's finished already, so we view it as a separate entity from the chicken. That shaila, whether the egg is a separate entity or not, vis-a-vis Hilchos Basar, can be rephrased in other scenarios as well. You can ask almost the same shaila, not whether it's fleishiks or not, but whether it's mutter or not. What if the chicken turns out to be nevela? I shechted the chicken, I goofed, I messed up the shechita, and now I have a nevela on my hands. So I open it up, and I want to take the eggs out and eat the eggs. I don't want to know whether I can put it in my omelet. I want to know, can I put it in my cholent? I want to know, are they kosher or not? So what's the din? Beis is nevela. What's the din? What's it in? It's Osir. Tonight we pass the Beis Nevela is Osir. So Frekta is Kasha. Why is it when it comes to Hilchos Basar v'Cholav? So Beitza, somehow we say Beitza is not, if it's Gemur, it's not part of the meat. It's treated as a separate entity. When Hilchos Nevela, it's Chalar the Yisr of Nevela. How could that be? What's going on? Doesn't make any sense. What's the chiluk between the two? So Tosfos quotes in the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who says as follows. The Baal Halachas Gedolos says that really Me'ika Me'ika Adin, really the Beitza is not really part of the meat. But Afa Bichain, there's a difference why in Hilchos Nevela we're going to treat it like it's part of the meat, and Hilchos Basar v'Cholav we're not going to. Says the Baal Halachas Gedolos, Hilchos Nevela is much more serious than Hilchos Basar v'Cholav, and I'll tell you why. Nevela is an Issa Deraisa. Everybody knows, if I goofed up the shechit of the chicken, I killed the chicken without shechting it properly, so to eat the meat of the chicken is an outright Issa Deraisa, b'li shum sofek, right? Right? Who's going to tell me, right? Yeah? Maybe. There's one Tana that says, Ein shechit l'oif min ha-Torah. So there's no Issa Nevela on chicken. If there's no Issa Nevela on chicken, according to that Tana, which we most probably don't paskin like, according to that Tana, so why does the Torah say there's nivus of tohar? What's the parsha in the Torah about nivus of tohar? Tumah. No. You don't need shechita. So nevela means that I didn't shecht it properly. If there's no shechita for an oif min ha-Torah, so then there's no parsha shechita b'chlal on ofis. Shechita doesn't speak to Eifis. There's no such thing as Shechita and Eifis Midarais according to one Tana. The whole Shechita and Eifis is only Midarabon according to one Tana that we don't accept the Halacha. So Imkein, Hech Meshkach San Nivel Sof Tor, that's Taisus Kash, the first paragraph of Chulam, Taisus Kash. So Taisus says, the answer is that this being now being Yotzi, the Shechita component of Yerdeh right now. Okay? At least one more part of it. So Taisus says that even if you hold the Ein Shechita Lof Min HaTor, what that means is that you don't have to shech with all the Hilcha Shechita. All the dinim that would otherwise pass the shechitas, the halacha moshe mesina, the shehiya, halad, the adras, all the regular dinim that govern the shechita don't apply to oifas. But of course you have to cut the simonim. If you just shoot an oaf, you just bang an oaf over the head and kill it, avada navada, that's also min ha-Torah. That's the shayla. Oifas don't need shechita, but they do need what's called what? Nechira. Nechira sa simonim means you have to cut through the simonim. You don't have to shech the simonim, but you have to be necha the simonim. So it says that nivlas of tohar, according to that Tana who holds an ein shechita l'oif min ha-Torah, Nivus of Torah means that you didn't even do Nechira. It just died by itself. It just someone banged it over the head or a car ran over the hill for something. That's called the Nivus of Torah, even on the level of the Araisa. So that's a fascinating Taisvus. It's fascinating. We learn Cheshchita to figure out where did that come from? Nechira. The Nechira man Doch HaShmei. Whoever heard of Besar Nechira? So if you put together a couple of sugars in Chul, then you'll figure out where that came from. But not for now. Anyway, getting back to that story. So it comes about Lachas Gedolos and says to eat an egg of a Nevela, of a Nivus Oaf, that's really, really bad. You know why? Because if you let the guy eat the beitza, the next thing you know, what's the guy going to eat? He's going to eat the basar also. People think, this is basar. It's going to lead to a terrible mikshal. People are going to start to eat the dead chickens. And that would be a terrible issa deraisa. Imagine, says the Baal Halachas Gedolos, if we tell a person that the egg inside a kosher shechita, we tell him that, don't worry about it, the egg is the parva. Don't worry about it. So what's the worst case scenario he's going to do? He's going to think, ooh, if the egg is parva, what else is parva? So the chicken meat is parva. And what will be so gefelich if he does that? So he'll cook himself up, he'll make himself a chicken sandwich with a slice of cheese, I'll make a chicken cheeseburger, gewaldig murder. And what's so terrible about a chicken cheeseburger? Minatar is mutter anyway, right? Minatar anyway, it's only besar of, right? So besar of is not deraisa anyway. So a big spritz, says the Bahag, it's not going to be such a big mikshal. So therefore, when the Chachamim formulated this iserov, don't eat beitzim gemuros, gezeir up to the meat, or treat beitzim gemuros like you would treat the meat. So in Hilchos Nevela they were more machmir, and Hilchos Basar v'Cholav they were a little bit more makel, because the stakes aren't, no pun intended, but the stakes aren't so great. That's good, okay? Not so bad, because in Hilchos Nevela it'll be a disaster with deraisa, and Hilchos Basar v'Cholav big deal, worse it'll be a nisa derabban. That's on the Baal Halachas Gedolos formulates that chiluk. So Rabbi Natam asks the Baal Lachs Kedailas that that's not a correct chiluk. Because if so, the corollary of the Baal Lachs Kedailas' explanation should be that what if you happen to hold up a Sar Of is their Isa? Remember, we learned about this the first day of Shia. There are Tanoim. There are a lot of big Tanoim hold that way. There may be Stavish Nais that hold that way. There may be Rishonu Pas in that way. That Besar Oif. If I just, please, the Ram Shri Meichel, my Bal Toysef. But there are some Shitas that hold that Besar Oif is Yilu Deraisa. So, Frechter Ben Tam, if the Baal Lachas Gedelis is right, that the whole Hefter of eating Beitzim Gemuros, Becholov, is predicated on the assumption that Besar Oif is only Midirabonon, if you would really disagree with them, if you hold up Besar Oif is Yilu Deraisa, then the Karle, which should follow is that in Rechinami, the Taka Beitzim Gemurah should Taka Biyasa, and not us, it should be Fleshix. The same way we make a Gezeira of the Basar Nevela, we should make a Gezeira in the realm of Basar Becholov. The Baal Lachas Gedelis saved the Gezeira by Basar Becholov because it's not so terrible to honor the Rabbanim. But Imtum Slav would be the Raisa, you would Taka make a Gezeira. So if the Baal Lachas Gedelis is right, argues Rabbi Natam, the din that you're allowed to eat Beitzim Bekusach, the fact that eggs, Beitzim Gemurahs, are parva, is totally on a Machlaikas HaTanoim. So now turns around a bit of time and says, I just got finished telling you that that's the case of the Gemara of the easiest psak in the world, and still you shouldn't do it. Bifnei Rabo, it's not an easy psak. It may not even be true. It means it's the Machlekes HaTanoim. According to the Baal Lachas Gedolos, the whole head of eating basic Gemurahs Becholov is totally on the Machlekes HaTanoim. How did the Gemara pick that as an easy psak? That's a disaster psak. It may not even be right. It may taka be awesome. So therefore, Rabbi Natam says it must be that there's another answer to why we differentiate between Hilchas Nevela and Hilchas Bas B'Cholot. It must be that it has nothing to do with one deraisa, one derabanan. That's not the Tam Achiluk. What is the Tam Achiluk, says Rabbi Natam? Says Rabbi Natam, even if Bas B'Cholot Besar Oif is deraisa, play devil's advocate. Even if Bas B'Cholot of Besar Oif is deraisa, there's still less of a reason to make a gezeira by Besar Oif than by Besar Nevela. And I'll tell you why. What's a worse Avera, conceptually? What's a worse Avera, Nevela or Bas B'Cholov? Which is worse? Nevela is worse. You know why? You know why Nevela is worse? Because Nevela, the Chefetz itself is Osir, whereas by Bas B'Cholov, the Bas is okay, the Cholov is okay. Whoops, so sorry, we mixed it together, terrible. Zeh Mutter B'Fnei Atzmo, that's somewhat like a lower level. This is somehow there's less of a Chashash, less to be concerned with. And therefore, we're not going to make a zayir. Again, this whole derabbanan, the whole thing is derabbanan. Min haTorah, it's nishpisa nevela, it's nishpisa bas b'chol. The whole thing doesn't exist midaraisa. In the realm of gezeiras derabbanan, should we make gezeiras and bas b'chol? Should we make gezeiras and nevela? So, zochter ben etam, it makes more sense to be gezeiras by nevelas than by bas b'chol, because this is a davar asr b'fnei atzmo, and this is a davar mutter b'fnei atzmo. So it comes out, Rabbi Isai, that there's machloikis, the Baal Lachas Gedolos and Rabbeinu Tam. What would it then be of Beitzim Gemurahs, Aliba de Man Diomar, that Besar Oif is Deraisa? What would the halacha be? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it'll still be mutter, that it's still considered to be parva. Eggs, Beitzim Gemurahs are always parva, according to Rabbeinu Tam, no matter what you hold about Besar Oif. Whereas according to the Baal Lachas Gedolos, it said the whole matir, the whole mafkir of the Yis, the whole mafkir of the Gzer Derabanan, was the fact that Besar Oif is Derabanan, Imtun Salam Besar Oif would be Deraisa, Taka Beitzim Gemurahs would really be Fleshix. So some want to suggest that's where the minute came from. Maybe we paskin in our heart of hearts against who? Against the Rambam. Against Rabbi Akiva. Against the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe we really hold that Pesach Oif is what? Is the Araisa. There's a Tosis tucked away in the beginning of the Eight Perek Chulin that says that. We're going to get to that hopefully a little later in Siman Peites. There are Rishonim in between the lines who hold up Besar Oif as Deraisa. Now again, we don't want to say that too loud because we don't want to violate Baal Tosif a week before Rosh Hashanah. But Beinenu, according to some Rishonim, it's not true. So some argue that's where the minig came from. It means the minig is not because the Rabbanim and Krakow didn't want to answer Shilas. The minig because it's true. Because it's taka true. That Aliba, the Bahag, it's taka true. Beitzim Gemurahs are taka fleshiks. So we don't want to rely on this school. This school is Shalek Adin. Right. You're saying right. It means they name in the hearts of hearts. We don't really follow this. We all know that we don't really follow this. This is a hot stick. This is where the minute came from. There were Rishonim who held this way. There for sure Rishonim who held tach. You can't cook chicken and milk. Right. So this part of the minute, somehow stuff. This part of the minute, yes, people weren't cooking chicken and milk that often together. It wasn't such a common minute. But this is a common shayla. If you're shechting chickens all the time, this is a common shayla.
So I only have the problem if I accept Tosis
Sakh that's right. That's right. If you hold a Rabbeinu Tam straight through, right. If you believe in Rabbeinu, you want me to rely on its chusa, I mean, you want to know where the minute came from. You want to rely on, you want the Ramos version of the minute. Oh, except the Ramos version. I'm giving you two different, very, very, each one is a sapella, but the two different possibilities where this minig is. Okay. Okay, so Rabbi said, so we're not going to talk too much about the eggs. We don't really understand too much about the eggs physically anyway, and at the end of the day, nothing really matters. It's all awesome anyway. So we're going to treat all eggs as being flesh if they're inside the chicken. They're in path mark.
When the Ramah and Trimestesh and Emeralds, they're all called Minaganashim. When Post are telling us this happens to be the Minaganashim, are they telling us this is how we should be knowing, or are they just explaining this is what?
They're telling you the women are the ones who are cooking. So when the women are treating it, it's flesh. You want to go fight with your wife, go fight with your wife. Okay, good. All right. So by saying, now we get into a little bit more complicated question in the end of Simon Pezayan, in terms of defining what precise the cholov is. We introduce the sugya of keva. So keva is a hard sugya. It's hard in terms of mitzvah. It's hard in terms of halacha. We're going to try to give the Rashi prakim as to what exactly is flying in the sugya of keva. So we need just a couple of simple definitions as to what exactly keva is. So anyone ever seen a keva? Okay, so I can say whatever I want, so otherwise. Okay. Whenever I give a shiur anything with medicine, I always look around to scan the room to see what any doctor's there. If there are doctors there, then I'm nervous. If no doctors there, then I'm going to shoot my mouth off, whatever I want to say. Okay, so here, since there are no farmers here, I'm going to say whatever I want about keva. A cow, or a goat, or sheep, they have a bunch of different stomachs in there. There are four stomachs that they have, and the food gets sent from one stomach to the next stomach, to the next stomach, back and forth, goes ups and down, malagera, a lot of funny things happening. I said it pretty clearly, okay, in the digestion system of these, what are they called, the ruminants, they call them, what's the official term, ruminants, something like that. Okay, things that chew, that cut, goes up and down. But one of the stomachs, that's a critical stomach for our purposes, is called, actually, the keva. Keva is one of the four stomachs that these animals have. What makes the sugya a little bit confusing is that the term keva also has another meaning. It doesn't only refer to the stomach itself, the organ called the keva, but we call the guk that's inside this keva is also called the keva. So you can already begin to sense why that could lead to some confusion. So the word keva could sometimes mean the organ itself, and the word keva can sometimes mean the guk that's inside the keva. We're going to focus right now on the guk part. Okay, we're going to use the term keva referring to the guk. When we get to the stomach itself, to the meat of the stomach itself, so then we're going to call it the or hakeva. Okay, that's just to make things a little bit easier for us. But right now we're talking about the guk itself that's in one of these four stomachs. What exactly is in the stomach? So believe it or not, what happens in the stomach, the stomach is really good to do the following, that when an animal is drinking milk, an animal is nursing from its mother, so the animal is digesting the milk, and it's the enzymes, enzymes in there? Okay. It's the enzymes that are being produced in this stomach, this keva, which I say I'm not going to use, that are now working on this milk and are digesting this milk, and it's a little bit of a process. And this milk is digested, in the process of digesting, it becomes mamish, revolting and disgusting looking and smelly and everything, but that's what's supposed to happen, okay? That's exactly what the Rosh Hashanah built into the teva, that's what happens. You shecht an animal, you open up the animal, you start dissecting the animal, taking apart the animal, and you open up the stomach of the animal, and you find this stuff in there. That's what we're being done right now. What is this stuff in there? This keva, what exactly is the status of? So on the one hand, it started out as milk, no question about it, started out as milk. On the other hand, a lot of things have happened to it since then. It doesn't exactly look like something you'd want to put in cereal right now. What exactly is this keva? Is this keva considered to be milk, not considered to be milk? What exactly is the story? What's going on? So the sugya begins towards the end of the 8th parak Maseches Chulin, where the Gemara addresses an even more important question, not whether it's cholov necessarily, but the Gemara wants to know, well, what is the status of this guk inside, the word keva that we're using there, not the or keva, the keva itself, the guk inside, what exactly is the status vis-a-vis the rest of the animal? Namely, is this stuff, this keva, considered to be part of the body of the animal? Or is this considered to be something which is not really part of the body of the animal? Enough, Gemina. Well, what if I shechted this animal and I goofed on the shechita? Animals for sure in the shechita. That's the point of the day. I shechted the animal and I goofed on the shechita, and now I realize I have an avela in front of me, and I start opening it up, and I'm trying to think, well, what am I going to do now? I got a $4,000 cow here, which is an avela, which I can maybe sell to the goy, maybe give to the door. What can I possibly salvage from this animal? And then I come to the realization, ooh, I could salvage something. I could salvage the keva from this animal. That maybe is mutter. So comes the mission, says no. The keva is also nevela. Keva that's found inside of Behemoth nevela, the Mishnah says, Beferish, Temole, that keva is considered to be nevela. If the mother's nevela, or I don't know, the mother, whatever, it's not the mother really, it's the outer animal. If the animal is nevela, and the keva inside it. The same way the head of the animal is nevela, and the heart is nevela, and the lungs are nevela, and the legs are nevela. The stomach is nevela, and the guk inside the stomach is also chal on Hashem nevela. That's what the Mishnah says in the end of the end of the eighth parak of the But although the Mishnah does say that, that psak didn't last for all that long. We don't know how long it lasted for, but it changed eventually. And the Gemara refers to us to a sugya that appears in Maseches Avodah Zarah, where actually Rabbi Yeshua used to think that way, and then he apparently changed his mind. So at one time there was such a theory that, well, if there's an issa nevela on the whole picture, then there's an issa nevela chal on the cable also. But clearly in Maseches Avodah Zarah the Tanaim changed their mind. So if the Tanaim changed their mind and the Psak changed, so why does the Mishnah Chulin present? So the Gemara invokes the principle Mishnah Lozozim Kaima. Sometimes Rabbi Danasi left in a line the Mishnah, even though it's clear that that Psak is no longer valid. Mishnah Lozozim Kaima. So just because there's a stop Mishnah, Fereshi Mishnah at the end of Chulin that says that the cave is also Issa Nevela, don't take it too seriously. The halacha, Lamais it's Mutter. The Issa Nevela, it's not. I didn't say anything about being Cholav or not being Cholav. I just said it's not an Issa Nevela on it. That's all we know from the postscript of the Mishnah. Why exactly did the Tanaim change their mind? What's the svar to say that it's okay? So the Gemara throws out a term, which is a very, very vague term. The Gemara says the reason why the later Tanaim changed their mind is because we no longer say it's part of the Nevela, rather we call it Pirsha B'Alma. Pirsha B'Alma. The question is, what does that phrase mean, Pirsha B'Alma? So we have a major Chakira, or Chokis, whatever you want to call it. What does the term mean, Pirsha? What do the words mean, it's Pirsha B'Alma? There are one of two ways to be Bafkiya this Nevela from this Keva. One way, if something is nevela, how in the world can it ever become mutter? Well, we know there's a din in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah called Nois and Tam of Gam. If you have a food, you have a piece of nevela that's sitting outside in the sun for long enough and it starts to rot, and it becomes really disgusting and really loses its ability to be eaten, so then it basically loses its status of Mechol Sassurus. Where does that come from? So Paul said, right? Losochul kon nevela, ger shebeshrechtin nevechola. It's called the nevela ru'i leger. So there's a lot about that din, and hopefully as we learn through Hukos Tarovos, we'll come back to this many, many times. But there is a cloud called nevela ru'i leger, and contest nevela shein ru'i leger. You have something which is basically nifsa mechilas adam, so it loses its status of nevela. So maybe that's what the Gemara means. Pirsha b'alma. If that's what Pirsha b'alma means, then the word Pirsha is probably related to the word perish, like manure, like it's disgusting. Like it's something that it smells so bad. It's like the perish. Like if you shechted an animal, imagine you shechted the animal and you open up its large intestines and the stuff inside the large intestines. Would you say that's called nevela? I would say, it smells terrible. It says, maybe in theory it's part of the animal, but it's not going to be any worse than nevela. Shouldn't really care. No one can eat that. So if you mishugim and decide to eat that, it's hard to call you violating a nevela. So maybe that's what the Gemara meant. The same model. If it's inside, I got this so far, I'm good with my digestion system. So if it's in the large intestines, it's mamish galolim. It's mamish tsoya. It's disgusting. It's perish b'yama. Who dinami, the stuff that's inside the cave is also like perish b'yama because it's so bad, it's disgusting already. That's one version of what perish b'yama would be. But maybe we got the wrong etymology of that word. Maybe the word perish here, we're translating it wrong. It's all the same etymology, it comes from the same thing. Maybe what Chazal are highlighting is not so much that it's like zevel, it's like galolim, like tsoa. What the Gemara means is that it's perush, means it's separate. It's separate and distinct from the bosa of the animal. The Havamita was, the early Tanoim for hundreds of years thought that when you shecht an animal, everything inside the animal is chalad and Hashem nevela. Not true. It's clearly not true. What if, let's say, for argument's sake, you shecht an animal and you open it up and you find that the animal is chewing on a piece of gum, right? So it's a piece of gum inside the animal's mouth. You'd say, oh, the gum is chalad and Hashem nevela? It's no shaychus to the inside nevela. Just with the inside of nevela, it doesn't make it to nevela. It has to be part of the body of the nevela. So the earlier Tanoim thought that the perish is being worked on by the enzymes, it's part of the stomach, it's all the same thing. So it's all part of the nevela. And the later Tanoim realized it's not true. It's not a pirsha b'alma. It's not really true. So that's a whole different ballgame, a whole different matter. Now in Hilchas Nevela, we end up in the same place. In Hilchas Nevela, it's mutter. Either it's mutter because it's nisrach, because it's disgusting, it's enru l'ger, or it's mutter because it's no shaychas to the besar nevela. So in Hilchas Nevela, we end up pretty much in the same place. But there is a fundamental difference in these two pshat. Namely, right, let's take Nevela out of the picture for a minute. Let's assume I shechted an animal, and I did a good shechita once. First time today, we got a kosher shechita, okay? I open it up, and I want to know, I'm not interested in Nevela, I want to know, is it still milk? Because it was milk an hour ago when this animal started to eat it, when it was nursing, it was milk. I want to know, is this still called Cholav? Has this lost the status of Cholav or not? why would I think it's lost the status of Cholov? What would possibly lead me to believe that lost the status of Cholov? Well, let's go back to the two reasons why it's not Chal on Hashem Nevela. If you hold it's not Chal on Hashem Nevela for the second reason, because it's Perish B'Yam, because it's not Mesiaches to the Besah Nevela, so what does that have to do with the price of the Enchaida? It doesn't have to be Mesiaches to anything to be Cholov. It was Cholov. It remains Cholov. It's Cholov Yolam Vod. It's still Cholov. So just because the keva of a nevela is not nevela doesn't mean that the keva is not cholov. I mean, of course it's still cholov. But if you hold that the reason what was matir, the mafkia of the isa nevela, was the fact that it's not oichel anymore, it's the version of a gear, it's ois oichel, so then it's ois oichel, it's ois cholov also. So then for the purpose of vichas bas b'chol, it's also not considered to be cholov. So now the question, the nuance as to why the later Tanoim were matir the keva, what was mafkia the yisa nevela, is now going to chop a tremendous nafkamina ladina in terms of the cholov status, which is of course why this sugya makes it into Siman Pei Zayin. The reason why we're talking about it in Pei Zayin, not in the Siman Nuchashchita, is because we're much, much more interested in is it cholov, is it not cholov. So the chorish should depend on those two reasons. The two nuances is why it became ois levela in the first place. Do we have any rayas? You have to learn through all the whole parak of Kolabosar to try to figure out what's the din, what's the halacha. So you start scrounging around, you start looking around, and you see that the Tanoim did speak about the topic. They did talk about the topic. They did say certain statements that seem to indicate one way or the other. So one of the statements that Chazal said is, well, what if you take a keva, and here we're going to rephrase keva for a second, what if you take the whole stomach, we didn't want to call keva until now, but now we're calling it again, the orah keva, you take the whole picture, you open up the animal, it was kasher shechita, you open up the animal, you take the whole thing out, not just the guch, you take the guch with the meat, with the whole chagadja, and you put it into a pot, and you cook the whole thing up together. What do you have in front of you? So what does the Gemara say? Gemara quotes a braisa, so what do you have in front of you? You have bas b'cholov in front of you. It's a perisha braisa, and it says, I'm a vashel as a keva, you cook the whole keva all together, you now have bas b'cholov, because you have the meat of the stomach itself, and you have the milk that's sitting on the guk, and you now have bas b'cholov on you. So it sounds like it's an open and shut case. What are you pilpling about? We're pilpling about whether it's cholov or not. Pemoli in the Gemara that it's cholov. So not necessarily pemoli to anything. Why? Because maybe this braisa was when? It was pre-chazara. It means we know that there were Tanoim held this way. We have a Mishnah that held this way. It's because you dig up a braisa, I don't know what date this braisa dates from. So maybe this braisa was still from the old days. But once the psak was changed, once Rabbi Shua changed, and the Tanoim in the end of Chulin changed the psak, so once you invoke the din of Pirsha B'Yam to be matzah the Yisna Vela, maybe if you hold that the heter is based on that it's zevel, it's not really lechila, so we can discard that braisa as well. So unclear what to do with that braisa. So now we have other statements in Chazal. We have Mishnayos in Maseches Chulin, in Perek HaLabasar, that talk about it, but talk about a little bit of a different nuance. The Tanoim, the Mishnah, talks about the following. What would the din be if you have milk, the milk happens to be not kosher milk. How did the milk become not kosher milk? It was Cholof Treifa. We have a Treifa is producing milk. So I have an animal that I'm looking at the animal, I see this animal's got a hole in its head, right? And the milk's coming out, and I see it's got a hole in its head, it's got a hole in its stomach. I just did an x-ray on it, did an MRI, and I see this animal full of holes, it's full of edible treifas, and I know that this milk is mamish treif. And what happens? So another animal is coming, the baby's coming to try to get whatever milk out. The mother's not going to live around for too long. So it's trying to get all the milk out. So it's nursing, it's getting the milk out, getting the milk out, getting the milk out. So it's mamish nursing cholof treifa. Mamish, this is treifa, mamish gom minat toira. Going to summer show, you get malchus, you also minat treifa. It's terrible, right? And this baby is nursing, ksheirish yonke minat treifa. And now, I shecht the ksheira, I shecht this baby. And I open up the keva, and what do I find? What do I find? I find all this guk. So I want to know, what is this? What exactly is this? Is this guk? Is this guk treif, or is this guk not treif? What should the answer to that question be? What do you think the answer to that question should be? It should depend on the same shayla. Means if you hold that the matir of the guk, that the keva that was found inside the nevela, the matir was because it's perish, because it's garbage, because it's nifsa mechila. So this is also nifsa mechila. So this is also going to be mutter. If you hold that the matir for the keva inside the nevela was, it was parush, it was separate from the entity that it's inside, and therefore the isurim can be chal on it. I don't need any isurim to be chal on this milk. This milk is also v'yaymed. This milk came out of a treifa. It came out of the udder of a treifa. Of course the milk is also. So what should it then be? So what does the Mishnah say? No. What does the Mishnah say? Mishnah says it's aser. Mishnah says Pemoli that it's aser. Oh, the Mishnah says it's aser. So it sounds like it should be osir. What's the answer, Rabbi Say? What? It's also the Yimshir Rishayna. You can't bring any raya from anything. This is mamash unfair rayas. Any raya you're going to bring that's osir, I'm going to say, you're right, 1600 years ago. But we live in a post-Khazara world. So every raya you're going to bring, there's nowhere to go. To make matters even better, there's a line in the Gemara that may exist that says, now that, according to Hefter Rishayim, the line exists that says, now that we paskin kodim acha chazara, that kevas nevela is mutter, what also becomes mutter is ksher shiran kibinat reifa. So there's a line in the Gemara, pemole, according to Hefter Rishayim, that actually says this shtikl teira. So now we're mamish, we have nowhere to go. We have no idea what to do with this shayla. We don't know what happened at this keva. We're analyzing, we're inside the stomach of the keva. We're studying this keva inside its stomach, and we want to know what happened. The fact is, though, it's an avela on it, that we know for a fact. Does that mean, therefore, it's not milk, and therefore, it's not a problem of chalav? Does that mean it's not milk, and therefore, it's not a problem of chalav treif anymore? We have no idea.
What's the opinion that one part of the animal could be us, but the rest could be... Okay,
what do you mean, one part? What do you mean, one part?
Keva, why would it be possible that if it's from a treif for that, it would be milk?
Why would it be? No. The milk came from a treifa animal. Yeah. So the milk came from anything that's yotzei treifa is also
right.
But now it's been drank by this. It's entered the kasher. So now it's become nifsom yachila. It became so rotted. It becomes so spoiled. So now it's mutter. The same way it lost the isin avela. It lost the isin chol of treifa also. That's the tzatzah said. It's okay. So bottom line is we don't have any clear rayas one way or the other. Some gemaras say asa, some gemaras maybe say mutter, we can't tell.
I thought that the discussion of the gemara about the mishnah was that just the ratio was kodem chazara, but the sefer where it says sheres yachim nechayva, that's post chazara.
Depends on what you think that line is, depending on whether you have that girsa or not. Right, depends on that line. It depends when you read that long rashi and then some, right. So Rabbi said, at the end of the day, there was a three-way machlokes rishonim as to what the answer to this whole saga is. There are two shittas that are extreme shittas and one right smack in the middle. So Rashi, those who read that long, you want to read that Rashi? Long Rashi. Tells you, like, you can like feel, you just like feel this affinity with Rashi. He's telling you how he went through this like crisis that first he thought it was us, if it was mutter, then it's us, it's back and forth. Like that. So Rashi, when all the dust settles, so Rashi sticks to his what he thinks is the real pshat. Rashi says, it's chalav. It's mamish dino kechalav. Keva, the stuff, the guk inside the keva is dino kechalav. There's no gemara anywhere that says that's not dino kechalav. All the gemara says is that it's not nitpasar and shemis and avela, which means it's a parish biyam, it's separate and distinct from the besar and avela, but no shape or form did the gemara say it's not called chalav. It's called chalav, and therefore Rashi says, l'maskana, sherish yonkim netrefis tacha osar. Aye, the gemara says not. Rashi says that line doesn't exist. Rashi didn't even have that line. It says parentheses. Rashi, we don't read parentheses. Wait, Rashi doesn't say that. I'm saying it doesn't exist. The whole line doesn't exist. Sheir shiyankum in a treifa is takabi sura oimed. And the Gemara says beferish. The Brisa says beferish that if you cook up a cave of bechalva, it's in a sabas bechalav. Everything gets thrown out the window. Everything is kind of chazara. No, it's post chazara, and it's still going to be a problem. So Rashi sheet with all the dust settles is that kevas nevela is mutter. Pretty much everything else remains be'isuro, it remains chalav v'chal dinei ha-Torah, it remains chalav v'chaz bas v'chalav, it remains chalav for the purposes of treifas as well. That sheet is Rashi. Unlike sheet is Rashi, is sheet is Harif. The Rif says that everything changed. Everything became mutter. When Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind, all the dominoes fell to pieces. The whole thing fell apart. The Brice about Keva Shabishla Bechova falls to pieces. The line of the Mishnah about Ksheir Rishon Kibbutz Treifa falls to pieces. Everything hinges upon the last line, the Gemara, the Hilchasa, that the Rif had the Girsa. Everything is mutter. Everything, it's nothing. It's nothing. Not Nevela, not Treifa, not Bas Bechova, nothing. It's garbage. It's good. It's garbage. Nifsa Miachila, garbage finished. So you have Machlekes Ben HaKotzer. Then you have middle ground. The Ben Atam trying to make everybody happy. The Ben Atam looked at the sugars and saying, you know, in some places we're calling it garbage. And it seems to be that it's nothing, but we have these braises that are saying that it is a problem. Says Rabbeinu Tam, brisket, there are two kinds of kevas. Not all kevas are created equal, says Rabbeinu Tam. There are stages in the development of the keva. An animal is drinking this milk, so when it first comes into the keva, it's very, very liquidy. It almost resembles milk. If it sits there long enough, the enzymes start working on it, so turn it to cheese, it's working hot enough, then it gets a much more solid consistency. So Rabbeinu Tam says there's a keva which is tzlula and a keva that's krusha. If it's tzol, if it's just liquidy, then it's mamish milk. Again, doesn't mean that it's necessarily nevela, maybe it is, maybe it's not, but it's milk, it's for sure milk. But karush, Says Rebbeinu Tam, once it's Koresh, then it's Mamish Perish B'Yam, but then it's Mamish nothing, says Rebbeinu Tam. So according to Rebbeinu Tam, the answer is this Keva Milchix or not? It depends what kind of cave you're talking about. If it's the early stages of Keva, then it's Milchix. Later stages of Keva, then it's Pah. So we have three shittas in the Rishonim, and all three shittas are represented pretty much on the page, either on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, or around the sides of the page. Everyone has their day in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rif, not surprising that everything is mutar. The Ramah seems to quote Rebbeinu Tam that it depends, and the later Achamarim quote that there are some more machmir for Rashi, that everything is milchix. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Yisai, next time you have this tremendous desire to cook up your keva, so don't do it, because according to Rashi, you're always going to have a problem. So keva, we are going to assume, is a three-way machlokes Rishonim, but the answer to that question is keva milchix or not? It all depends on what the lashon of what Pirshat Yama meant. It all depends on how you're willing to read or reread any of these rayas, what konkos or achas are, etc. Fine. But then there's a second half of the keva story. And that's when we start to introduce not just the keva proper, but we start to introduce the or hakeva as well. Now the or hakeva is mamash the stomach, is the lining of the stomach. So that seems to be like a no-brainer. The lining of the stomach is mamash basar. You might talk about it. That's exactly what the Mishnah says in our Mishnah. Even with all the post-chazaras, our Mishnah still has something to tell us. The Mishnah says, what if you do as follows? What if you have a cup of milk? No cave is it. You have a cup of milk, a bowl of milk, pot of milk, and for some strange reason, I take some of the lining of the stomach and I start to mix it together with the milk that's sitting in my pot. Why would I ever do such a foolish as that? That's the answer. That's how you make cheese, okay? Because believe it or not, the Gevalt Gechap, the Rebbeinu Shlomo put into the Teva, that's how you make cheese. It's the same, those enzymes that the animal uses to digest the milk is ultimately what turns it into what Rebbeinu Tam was describing. It starts out as liquidy, then becomes cheesy. And that's exactly what happens. And eventually you get a slice of pizza, okay? So that's what happens. So the guy is trying to make cheese. So it's a great idea. He's trying to make cheese. He wants to get those enzymes, right? He's looking for those enzymes. So where does he get the enzymes from? Oh, he gets it from the keva, right? So what does the guy do? That isn't too much. He takes some of the stomach itself. He scrapes off some of the stuff, which is juicy, full of these enzymes. He throws it into this pot of milk, and he starts to make cheese out of it. So what does he have, everybody say? L'chol hadeis, what does he have? He said bos b'chol. He's got meat, milk together. That doesn't sound good. That's bos b'chol. So that's exactly what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah says the guy who did this, he's stuck with the bos b'chol of shalom. Now, the question is, how much meat does he have in there? He doesn't have that much meat in there. So the Mishnah says, we'll follow the regular rules of Hilchos Bas B'chalav. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, you know, we'll get to those simanim. Saturdays, Gimel, Tzedala, the real part, the hard part of Bas B'chalav. It all depends on one fact, and one fact alone. What is that? If you have tab or not. It's like I'm cooking up a big pot of milk and a little drop of meat falls in. Or vice versa, I'm cooking up a big pot of meat and a little drop of milk falls in. Mishnah Beferish, Kuches, come on, and Mishnah Nosin Tamar is also, Emir Nosin Tamar is a mutter. So the Mishnah is not surprising. The end of Kol Avos says it all depends on is it Nosin Tamar now. If I was just learning this sugya in Chulin, I wouldn't have found this overly surprising. This is a classic application of Bas B'chol and Shem. What makes the sugya confusing is that the Gemara has another discussion back to the Rabbi Yeshua days, to the second parak of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is discussing a statement that appears in the Mishnah, a very, very vague statement in the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about all the different foods that the Goyim were producing that we're not allowed to eat. So one of those things on the list is cheese. Gevinas Akam is also. The Gemara says, "Mipnei Ma'asrua, what's wrong with Gevinas Akam?" What's the problem? Go to the store, go to Path, buy myself a tray for cheese. I mean, why is the tray? What's wrong with the cheese? It's milk. What could possibly be wrong with it? What could possibly be wrong with cheese? Today, a lot of things could be wrong with cheese, but about the old style, what could possibly be wrong with cheese? So the Gemara has a strange discussion with Sefer Avodah Zarah. Nobody knew why. Nobody had an idea why cheese is also. Six different possibilities of them are why in the world cheese is also. Why wasn't it clear why cheese is also? So the Gemara explains that when the Tanoim first asked the cheese, they didn't want to tell anybody why it was also. You know why? Because they were afraid that if you start telling people why it's also, so what's everyone going to say? Oh, Rabbi, that's not a good reason. I disagree. It's not a good reason. It doesn't apply to me. My cheese is okay. So the Gemara says, when you make a gezeira, first keep it on the hush. Just let it get into people first. Let people start to, then afterwards we're more than open to discuss. We're willing to discuss things openly, but first make sure you understand that it's also. If the makabel is also, then we'll explain to you why it's also. So Gemara says when they used to make gezeiras, so for 12 months they didn't want to emphasize what the reason for the gezeira was. Interesting Gemara. What the ramifications of that bismanas are or not, I'm not interested in talking about right now, but that's what it says in the Gemara about gezeiras. So they made a gezeiras about cheese, and there was a real reason Chazal had. The only problem was a year passed. What is the Gemara say? Shir Shicha Yud Beis Chodesh. Nobody remembered what happened. It was a year later. No one remembered. So we're going to go back to the old Sanhedrin records, like we sometimes try to go back to the old Rosh Hashiva meeting, the minutes from the Rosh Hashiva meetings. So we're trying to figure out what did we talk about 3 years ago. So they didn't have everything online then. So I'm trying to figure out why did we ask this cheese in the first place. So six different versions why we asked the cheese. So one of the reasons, which may be the real reason, possibly was the real reason, at least according to some Rishonim, was because the goyim, when they make cheese, so the best, easiest, simplest way to make cheese is you want to get some of this enzyme in. So it's the most simplest way to do is you scrape off a little bit of the stomach and you throw some of the stomach in, and hocus pocus, after a while, you know, the milk turns into cheese. So basically the goyim were using a non-kosher source to make this cheese. What were they using? They were using the meat. They were using the Or HaKeva. If a goy was using the Or HaKeva, it was Or Nevela. He wasn't getting kosher animals. He was using his. He was shooting his animals and using their, taking apart their meat, and he would scrape off some of their arkeva and throw it into the cheese and Shalom Yisrael. So comes the Gemara and says that's the reason why it's also because they shema bidno sub or kevas nevela. It was actually, this was the context of the original statement of Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara thought that the reason was the real reason why they asked the cheese was because they were just taking the gook itself and using it to create more cheese, because the enzymes are in the gook. So they were using the gook itself to create more cheese. So the Gemara says, no, that wouldn't have been a reason. That wouldn't have been a problem, because the Acha Chazara, the Kevas Nevela, is really not treif. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's not that they were mamed with the Kevas Nevela, they were mamed with or Kevas Nevela. Fine. So the Gemara solved the problem. So come over to Rishonim and say, wait a second. When the Gemara presents this problem, this is why cheese is also, because they were mamed Kevas Nevela. How much Kevas Nevela did they use? They used so much. How come the Gemara doesn't say, hey, wait a second, let's analyze this. Is this a good reason? Not a good reason? Is it nice in time? Is it not nice in time? After all, we just got finished learning in the 8th break of Chulin that when you mamid with or kevas nevela, or kevas shchuta vis-a-vis basar b'chalav, so we follow nice and tam. If there's such an insignificant amount of basar in there, it doesn't create basar b'chalav, so why didn't the Gemara say, wait a second, maybe there's not enough basar nevela that create a problem of basar nevela? So how come Chazal just asked it, just cross the board? Just asked it. Belishim suffik, it's also across the board. Mayhai manishtana, that in hukas basar b'chalav, it's only also in the very, very unique circumstances when there's such a large amount in place and time. And when it came to our kevas nevela, so somehow we asked it across the board. We really have it in for this cheese. What's going on? So it was a major machlekes of Rishonim, what the answer to this question is. So came along the Rimagash, who was a Rebbe of the Rambam's father, which is not surprising because the Rambam quotes this shot from Rimagash. Came along the Rimagash and says, the answer is as follows. It says the Rimagash, the reason why the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when discussing the cheese issue, doesn't address the question, is there nice and tam or not, is because it's going to be also even without nice and tam. Why is it also without nice and tam? Everything is nice and tam. It's not nice. How can something be also? It's bottle if there's no nice and tam. Says the Rimagash, no, it's not bottle. You know why? A brand new category. We have yet to learn this. We haven't even learned your day. We haven't learned Tarevis yet. We still don't pay Zion. We finished all of Elul. We still don't pay Zion. What did the Rimagash say? Two words. It's a Dovra Ma'amid. The Or HaKeva that's creating cheese, it will never be bottle. You can't call it to be bottle. How can you say it's bottle? This is what made the cheese. Before you threw it in, it was milk. You turned milk into, you had a cup of milk, and you turned it into a slice of American cheese through the goodwill of what? Of the Or HaKeva. You're going to turn around and say the Or HaKeva is bottle? It's the Dovra Ma'amid. And everybody knows, everybody under the sun knows, Dover Mamed ain't no bottle. That's what the Rimagash says. So since it's a Dover Mamed, it can't be bottle. So now, comes the Rimagash and asks himself, Ova Zoi, that I just told you that Dover Mamed is not bottle, so then how come the Mishnah says in Chulin, in the 8th parak, that hey, Bas B'cholav, no problem, it was just a tiny, tiny, insignificant amount of Orakeva, you're home free, because it's bottle, B'shishim, whatever, it's bottle. I don't mean that, you know, we don't know what that term means yet, but it's bottle, means it's known as Sinas Tam. So frektri megashra himself the morim shach. If you subscribe to this idea of davar ma'am and eno batel, so then it shouldn't be batel by basel v'cholav either. So the Rimagasha's got to walk, as we spoke about in Ksubis, he's got to walk a what? He's got to walk a tightrope. If Mamish a tightrope, says the Rimagasha, no, in Hilchis Nevela, Dover Mamid is Eino Botel. In Hilchis Bos B'cholov, then Dover Mamid is Botel. And that's what's going on in all the Gemaras. That's why, vis-a-vis Hilchis Bos B'cholov, when the Mishnah speaks about Bos B'cholov Shail, everything is kosher ingredients, it's a Shail of creating Bos B'cholov, then we follow the regular rules of Bittel. Bittel B'shishim, none is in his time, everything's hunky-dory. But in Hilchis Nevela, in Hilchis making cheese for Goyim, when we're concerned with the Nevela issue, Hilchis Nevela, Dover Mamid is Eino Botel. That's the Rimagasha solution to the problem. So, of course, we need a little bit of work on that to understand why that's all about. In order to understand the chiluk, we don't even understand why Dover Mamid is in a batel. We're not quite sure. That hit us like a ton of bricks, because we probably don't know, maybe we don't know enough about bittel and not bittel to appreciate why Dover Mamid should not be batel. So we have to figure out, to fine-tune this Rimagash. But that's the basic thrust of the answer of the Rimagash, that Bas B'cholov and Nevela are different. That's why in Bas B'cholov, the Mishnah makes a fuss about is there enough or not. In Nevela, even the smallest insignificant amount was still going to pose a problem with Dover Mamid in a batel. So we still have to hopefully figure out in the next year what the Rimagash was driving at, and then understand why this is not the only answer to the Kasha. There may be other answers to the Kasha. So we have to finish up a little bit about this, the sugyas of the end of the sugyas of Keva. Hopefully, Hashem, the next year we'll be able to start already Siman Peches. Okay? We just got a schedule for the next, the next couple of weeks or so. Where are we up to in terms of, so Sunday we have regular Shiva.